You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon from Los Angeles on LA Talk Radio. I'm Yael Kagan. I am a hypnotherapist. I master in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and I master in numerology. I'm also the author of the book, Unlock Your Child's Potential, which is a guide to parenting through numerology. For all of you who asked me, the book is available both in Hebrew through me, or in Israel there is a link, and the English version through Amazon. So those who ask me, just write and I'll send you the link. And today I'm happy to bring up my guest, which will come in. Here she is. Here is Shiri. Shiri is a rabbanit, which I'll ask you in a second to explain what it is, and a teacher, I believe, in Kabbalah and Torah, and you will explain it a little bit better. And I will hand the microphone to Shiri so that she can give us some information, description. Let us know, Shiri.
So first of all, I'm very happy to be here. Any opportunity to bring love and light to the world, it's the place I want to be in. And basically, who I am. So I'm originally from Israel, even though I live in LA for many, many years now. And my purpose in life, that's how I see it, is to really connect people, to help them to be united with the universe, with God, and to have a happier life. And I do that to people in all ages, whether it's children, whether it's teenagers, teachers and teenagers in spirit, and all ages. Me and my husband, my husband is a rabbi and I'm a rabbanit. I teach conversion also, which is more like spiritual guidance to people that feel that they're connected to the nation of Israel in some way and they want to come back. That's how I see it. And I teach also in Jewish day schools here in LA.
Wonderful.
Oh, we also have a YouTube channel called Let's Jewish.
Which, what's on the YouTube channel?
It's basically like very usually short lectures about the weekly portion of the Torah, about questions that I get from people of all religions, sometimes basic questions as why Jewish people light Shabbat candles or how do you light it? So I kind of found the need to put it out there. There's no judgment, just to understand what it is. You don't have to be Jewish to just see other traditions are or what are they and where are they coming from.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned love and light. And I do have to say that I've known you for just through, conversations to prepare for the show. And she does. She brings a lot of love and a lot of light. Very, very positive. So I'm very happy to have her on the show. And question before I dive into our subject, were you always spiritual like that? Is it something that came with the time, with your journey?
It's funny you're asking that because I feel I was born that way and it kind of chose it for me because anytime I try to run to a more I don't want to say realistic because I feel this is reality. The reality in this world is this is a world of physical matter that is all mixed with spirituality. So I don't see how to even separate, those two realms. But it was always there. I always had special dreams that would come through. I will always see signs. I really recommend, by the way, to people to look around them because God is talking to us in numbers, right? Even the cars before us, sometimes the number of their license plate says something to us. It's all around us. So you can talk to us through people through signs, through symbols, everything. So I was just, I guess, more of an observant child already. And I would just see all these, you know, unique connections. So it kind of pushed me to this direction.
Amazing. And you know that I believe in numbers because of my numerology. So I agree with you 100%. And I always ask people that ask me, why do I see on my clock all the time 1111 or 44 or 33? And I said, what exactly does it mean for you? Because there is a message right there, but it's very individual. So I mean, I love it, and I appreciate you sharing it, because I'm sure a lot of people that are hearing it now saying, oh my God, that's exactly what I see or what I feel. What do I do with it? And that's where you need to learn more. But diving more into our subject, and we chose a subject to talk about, and you called it the generation of the Messiah. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the challenges that we face during this time. Can you explain it and go a little bit deeper?
Yes, of course. So first of all, I want to say, what is the word Messiah in Hebrew? In Hebrew, it's Mashiach, and it actually comes from the Hebrew word Limshoach. Limshoach means to anoint with oil. The way that in the Torah times they would anoint a king was by putting or pouring special, very, very pure olive oil on their forehead. And since then, that would be the symbol when it's the Mashiach, and also when the in the Jewish belief, when the Mashiach, the Messiah, will come, that's a process that will be also done to him when we recognize that this is the true one. Because throughout centuries, there were different times in Judaism also that there were different leaders that they said that they were the Messiah, but they were not, or people thought they are and they were killed. So different things that happened during that time, I mean, different times. In Judaism, again, I'm not trying to put any religion in another place. In Judaism, we believe that the Messiah, the Mashiach, is going to be from the house of King David. A kind of like a reincarnation, I guess, of the same soul. And he will come hopefully soon, and he will redeem the nation of Israel, and he would guide us in the way of the Torah, will give us the right guidance, because sometimes we have a lot of confusions, especially today. And he would know to tell us the right way and what's the real truth in everything.
Interesting. But when you call
human,
it,
by the way.
Sorry?
He will be human. He will be human, by the way.
Got you. Now, what does it mean, the generation of Messiah? Does it mean the time that we are waiting or going to expect to see or receive the Messiah?
So this, it's a challenging question, because I feel that this is kind of like we are now in the time that we're almost like, or maybe we are in labor pain. Like, we're really inside the womb. We hear the voices. We see scary things. We're kind of like so anxious. We don't know. We're losing control. And it's very, very scary. And this is all a part of a process that in the secrets of Judaism, which it talks about in the Zohar and in the Kabbalah, they explain that this is we start to feel the separation between good and bad, or good and evil. Until recently, everything was very, very mixed. And now we see a process that is very essential, but it's also, it can be very painful, that it starts to really separate the good from the bad. We still see people that are kind of mixed. We are used to think we all have good and bad, and we do. But the process in the end of it will be that the good and the bad will separate completely. And this is what we're experiencing now. In a way, people that are good-hearted, they all of a sudden see evil in levels that they don't understand where did it come from? Where, like, what is that? And again, we'll see, unfortunately, more, and there are more challenges coming to the world, but we just have to remember that this is essential for us. Essential, and it will bring us to a good place.
So it's almost like extreme negative, but instead of concentrating on the negative, think about what's coming next, which is the positive, because Messiah basically bring us a positive message that something better, better life are coming. So it's like,
yes,
accept almost with love, even if it looks tough, even if it looks harder, because something better is coming. And a question to that is, how do you think we can maintain a positive outlook in such challenging times? What can we do so that we concentrate more on the positive than on the actual negative situation?
So, first of all, we have to be very aware of what we're watching and limit how much we're watching, because the media and other places, it's built on a way to make us very anxious and to keep us all the time like addicted to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying disconnect yourself completely, because it's impossible. But I do say, when you feel it's too much for you and it's already affecting your mental health, because that's what it does to people today, learn ways to kind of disconnect from meditation, you know, reading something, praying, whatever you feel that makes you happy, go for a walk on the beach, whatever you need to disconnect from it, because it's not, if not, it's going to really take over you. Mm-hmm. But in the more deeper level, we have to understand that the souls that came to the world in our time and in also the next 100, 200 years, they're all very, very unique souls, especially the ones that are fighting for the light, if I can say it like that. Very powerful souls, very, very sensitive, strong intuitions, and we came to make this happen. So when we feel that we are losing it, when we feel it's too much for us, again, find a way to balance yourself, but don't give up, and know that you are so powerful and God sees you. He's with you. He's in the business all the time. Now, what another thing that can be overwhelming is that we see all this darkness and we say, okay, so how can we win? But when we go into a dark room, we just need one candle to destroy all the darkness. So this is an expression called the critical mass. We don't know exactly when is the critical mass that will flip everything. We just have to work on increase the kindness, the good, the strong belief, find things that can make us stronger in our spirituality, because we need the spiritual tools. It's not enough to be spiritual. You really need tools to protect yourself, because you're also very vulnerable. So these things you have to learn.
So it's more concentrating on belief than on rational thoughts, because when we try to work from rational thoughts, it's we're trying to be in control of situations, and we have to go exactly the other way. We have to go inside, we have to make our belief stronger and believe that something better is on the way and concentrate on that and not on other things that are being put on the way. Maybe they are testing us also, to see how strong we are and getting us ready towards that. And are there any like key principles from the Torah or the Kabbalah that can help individuals build their own, you called it Noah Ark, which I love. I mean, for me, it was like, wow, bingo, that's the word. Is there like any key principles that you can share so that people can start building their own Noah Ark for a positive life?
Yeah. So first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what's our goal? Because anything spiritual that we learn just for our own selfish desire is not going to last. Whatever it is, because there are a lot of strengths and powers in any spiritual, you know, level, but we have to always kind of tune ourselves and our soul to what we came to do. So if our purpose is to do good in the world, to be kind to the people around us, and it always starts with the people around us. You know, sometimes you see people in your family and you say, if I'll be honest, if they weren't my family, I don't know how much I would be connected to them. Well, guess what? God decided that you're going to be connected to them. So now deal with what is the correction you need to do with them in order to make it a beautiful harmony. So what is our goal? When our goal is to do good, this is actually the purpose of the creation. So we are connecting ourselves directly in all of our cells, physical and spiritual, to God. And then it's kind of like you become a channel because you say, okay, I'm with you. So come in. And then we have guidance and protections that are kind of built in because, you know, you're one with him. Second of all is to know that we can. Okay. Every time we want to be depressed and sad. And, you know, I really prayed before this interview that we'll have good souls that are listening and that I can really, you know, cheer them up and help them to understand you can do it. You really can do it. Don't worry. Don't let all this, you know, you can do it. And yes, we'll see dark times, but that's why we are here. We need to practice shining. You know, this is who we are. And it's very simple, actually. What, you know, it says what the world is built on. And two of the pillars is Ma'asim Tovim and Gmilut Chasadim. So good deeds and also acts of kindness. Why? It sounds almost the same. But good deeds we can do to everyone. And it's the easiest to do it to people that we are close to. You know, it's easier to, you know, let's say, buy something, be nice to someone I love or someone I have an interest, right? But to give something to someone that I have no interest at all, that's when it's hard. That's why, for example, in Judaism, we should give 10% of our salary to tzedakah, to charity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how I woke up in the morning, whether I'm, you know, upset or I'm happy, this 10% has to go. And by that, I open the channel, I open the cycle, actually. When I give, I receive. And that's like very basic Kabbalah, actually. I have to open the cycle. If not, I become an end. And I have to pump all the time more and more light, so I'll have more light. So it's kind of like egoistic, but in a good way. You know, if I want to be happy, if I want my family to be protected, just like you said in the Noah Ark, I have to build it. So, you know, I see people that are doing good and they do affect other people around them, let's say family members that are not spiritual at all, and start to be affected by it. So I do see that we, again, we're powerful. And even if for now other members are not joining in, what we can do reflects on them and can slowly, slowly help them also and protect them too.
Uh-huh. That's very interesting. I want to try to get into like a specific example, kind of, because many times, you know, our issues start with, like you said, the people that are closest to us. So if you have a friend that is, I don't know, annoying you or like something is not as smooth as it used to be. And I want to take that as an example and give the audience kind of like a way or a tool how to deal with it. Because what happens, it's a chain reaction. If I start reacting to that person, I assume another friend or another reaction will come to me because it's the law of attraction. How do we deal with it right then and now so that not only that we fix that issue for us and then spread it on others? I just took a one very specific, you know, example, but you can also give another example. But I want to be more specific and show the audience how do you, from key principles that you work with, how would you help them or teach them to address issues like that?
But do you mean if they're less spiritual or they're in a place that they keep on the negativity, if I can say?
I mean, I believe that the spirituality is inside everyone. It's just, what are we concentrating on? Do I concentrate more on the outside? He did that to me. He said that to me, or so and so and so. Or we can basically tell them, like I tell my clients, let's reframe the way you talk, the way you tell me the story. Let's reframe it. Let's try to do it a little different. So in the therapy world, I know how to address it, but taking it from your world, what do you tell a person like that that tells you, you know what, everything is terrible, the community here, the friends around me, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of, you know, conversations that are being rough. how would you address that so that they will build their own Noah's Ark and be in there, be in a better place?
So I would break it down because, first of all, in this world, we have a choice. You know, we can help someone, we can listen to them, we can encourage them, but they will have to walk the walk. They will have to want it. And unfortunately, some people have to get to the really rock bottom before they start taking responsibility over their lives and decide enough is enough and I want to make it into a better life. And we have to respect it because, again, according to Judaism, we all have a part, which is our soul, that's called Chelek Elokai Mimal. We all have a part of God inside us. And even if that person is the worst on the planet, I still have to respect that divine part in them. So I can recommend, I cannot force them to do it. Nevertheless, when we learn that, first of all, what is the seed level? If my thoughts are negative, my actions will be affected. If I want to plant an orange tree, I have to make sure that the seed that I planted is an orange tree. If not, if I put even an apple tree, you know, seed, I can put as much water and, you know, whatever I want to do, sun, sing songs, it will still grow into an apple tree, not into an orange tree. So the seed level is very important, what we think, how we think, and also what we say. We have to train ourselves to talk less, you know, with evil tongue. We call it Lashon Hara. We have to think positive more about other people. Try not to blame other people in our problems because right now what we see is something that already in the 17th century, the Baal Shem Tov, which was a very big rabbi, said that what we see outside is like a mirror or a projection to our own inside. And when we see a lacking, it means that we have a lacking in our own soul. And when we see something more complete, it means that we are more completed inside. Now, I'm not saying that everything outside is perfect. I just think that we have responsibility to fix it. When there is a lot of chaos, it means we have to increase the light.
Absolutely. And I love I think the key word here is taking responsibility. Instead of becoming a victim and saying, he did that to me, try to think about what are you responsible for and learn that it was your choice because you could have ignored it or dealt with it differently. And like you said, you have to look for the root cause. Why is it doing it to me? How am I programmed from childhood? What have I seen at home and bringing into my adult life? And then ask yourself, do I need it? Does it help me in any way? Or am I ready to work on it and try to change it? And then you either become more spiritual and learn for sure or do therapy or whatever it is. And another important thing maybe that I want to add here is haposel bemumo posel. When something is really, really bothering you that someone else is doing, try to ask yourself, could it be that this is something within me that I don't like? Maybe I'm seeing myself in like a mirror. And if it is, let's think what it is and why is it like pushing a button. I love to call in therapy, a person is pushing your button. And I think that's what happens to all of us. It's not just what's happening around us. It's how does it find us inside us and how can we do even better. Now, I know that, you know, wherever it talks about the Messiah, about better times that are coming, and we are seeing what's happening in the world. I mean, yes, the media is you know, doing it larger and doing it, they keep repeating it, and that's when you almost get hypnotized and you are completely into it while you can step out and disassociate yourself from that situation. But is there like a timing that you can share that we believe, like, what are we waiting for before better times will come, or what we call the Messiah that's supposed to come? What needs to be there so that we can read the signs? Like, religious people will talk about it. I truly have no information or do not understand it, but what are we waiting for, basically?
So there is a concept of Mashiach Prati, a personal Messiah, and Mashiach Klali, like a general Messiah. When you look at the world the way it is, and if the world was created by God to be kind to all his creatures, we have to be honest that we kind of, the world cannot continue the way it is. It just cannot. You can disqualify a person by like or dislike. This is becoming so, you know, evil. Everything is about, you know, me, and like, how do I this? And I'm not saying people should not be happy and look good and be, you know, prosper. All the blessings in the world that bless everyone. But we have to always remember what's the main thing again. And it turned into so artificial and so, there's a lot of chaos and everything is mixed. Everything is mixed. It looked like an upside down world. So what do you think? God let us do our thing, but when we need help, he's going to somehow, you know, not somehow, he's always there. But there's something called Hastarat Panim, like the past generations, and we're still in it. There's called this expression is that God is there, but imagine instead of right here, he is like in a helicopter above us. He's still there, but he kind of let us do our thing in his world. But when he says it's too much, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be an end to it in a way. So when we understand that, it kind of aligns with what the prophecies are saying in different places in the Torah. If people are interested, there is the Gog Magog. That's a very famous a revelation that is in the book of Ezekiel, Yechezkel. People can read about that. I'm not here to scare people because, again, I truly believe that if we create enough critical mass of good people that want to make a difference, we will create at least a huge Noah Ark. And you never know. Again, this is a correction. Just like you said, it's a reflection. And if we change it and fight the evil and, you know, just increase the kindness and good, we don't need all, you know, we can flip it from happening in judgment to happening in mercy. And that's where I'm aiming. There are prophecies and they're very precise. There are things about, they call Iran, for example, in the Zohar, they call it Persia, Paras. Mm-hmm. And it says exactly what he wants to do. It says that Persia wants to bring the world to a third world war. It says it there. I don't want to go into all the other things it says there, but again, we are powerful and we have to fight because we want to bring the Messiah faster. That's what we're doing right now. The Messiah will come according to Judaism. And I mean, it says that in like I'm trying to say it in a way because it's not good to say, okay, when is it going to be? You know, I don't want to be, I'm not a, you know, but in Judaism, we have a Jewish calendar, and there are different times that are more negative, more positive, times that we have to cave in, some times that we have to be out there. And according to the Jewish calendar, we have what is called the 6,000 years, and we're almost in the end of it. So that's why things are kind of pushing. There's a lot of pressure. It's almost there. It's almost there. It's almost there. Does it mean that the world will be ending? No, that's not what it means. But it's kind of like a new dimension that we will all have to kind of readapt to. And that's what we're doing right now. Our souls are going through a full transformation and we just have to help ourselves to do it. Tools that can help us are literally reading some parts of the Torah, reading about the weekly portion of the week, because the Torah right now, the Hebrew Bible, is like a map. It can really, whatever happens during a week in the Torah, like whatever we read during that week, it has challenges for us and also has gifts for us. If we know to receive the gifts, we're making ourselves stronger. So all these things are very important spiritual tools that can cleanse us and help us.
So I love it that you dived into another subject that at the beginning we wanted to talk about, because I'm very passionate about that, about the weekly parasha. And you said it nicely. It's almost like there is a guide to where do we need to go next? How do I know what am I supposed to do? And where are the signs? And if you want to, I mean, we still have time to dive a little bit into it, because, you know, we gave people a lot of information here. I think we gave the positive message that we are towards, you know, seeing better life, but it depends on us. It's not something that's just going to happen on a certain day or time. It depends what are we as people doing? What are we attracting? How are we changing so that we can, you know, wake it up and say, okay, we are ready now. Let's be a better world. And it has to be all of us, unfortunately, but we can always start from one person. And like you teach others or I teach other things. But I want you to dive a little bit, because it's a great tool. And, you know, I told you I absolutely use it in my therapy and I love it. How can you get messages and guidance through the weekly parasha? And if you can explain a little bit for people who are not really familiar with what the weekly parasha is.
So before the weekly parasha, I would start with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is even, you know, it's a head of the month in Judaism. And it aligns with the beginning, the birth of the moon. That's how they call it.
And it's the Hebrew month.
Yes, the Hebrew month. So we have the Hebrew calendar that is affected by the moon and the sun. Other calendars, some go only by the sun, some goes only by the moon. The Jewish calendar goes by the moon and in some things by the sun. So it's very, very accurate. You won't have a holiday, let's say like Passover, that will all of a sudden will be in the summer. It will always be in the spring. It will always be in the specific date in the Hebrew month that it's in. But the Rosh Chodesh, some people don't know, that mitzvah of sanctifying the beginning of the month, the seed level, we talked about the seed level, what this month is going to be all about, that the Israelites, right when they came out of Egypt, when they were released from really dark magic, because, you know, Pharaoh and the Egyptians back then were the worst of the worst. They would control people by fear and dark magic to the level that people lost all hope. In fact, Pharaoh did not have a big army. He had only a few, you know, immediate guards of the palace, and he didn't need it because he would control people by curses and fears and so much negativity that he would literally suck their souls. Mm-hmm. So when they went out of there, the first mitzvah, the first merit that they were supposed to do is the Rosh Chodesh. Wait a minute, but we know Shabbat is important, keeping kosher is important, all these things. Why Rosh Chodesh? Because Hashem gave us, God gave us the ability to really take control even above the zodiac, the control of the stars and the moon and all the stars, I mean, the sun. So when we understand what month is coming and what, again, challenges and gifts it's bringing with it, we can already prepare ourselves and be aware of what seeds we are planting. And whenever someone around us starts to behave in a weird way, we're like, okay, we know what they're affected by. You have the power, because knowledge is power, to be more aware of it and kind of protect yourself. So, for example, this month, it's about caving in a little bit, going below the radar, because this month and in some way also the next month, these are months that negativity is a little stronger. But because of that, all the weekly portions in the Torah that you read during that time are super, super powerful, and they give us protection against, for example, this weekly portion that we're in, which is called Balak, protection against evil eye, protection against curses. And next parasha is about healing and medicine and getting yourself healed from whatever is already in your body and you're not even aware of. So God never leaves us alone. Yes, negative time comes. It's like a gate in time that is opening, But now you get your spiritual armor, your spiritual, you know, sword, and you're protected. So it's kind of like keeping the rules of the universe, and the Torah is very aligned with that. Back to your question, it was important for me to say, because it's not just the week, it's the whole month that is affected. Weekly portion is the Torah portion that we read from the five books of Moses. It depends on what time in the year. We actually start reading a little bit of it on Saturday afternoon. We read again a little on Mondays and Thursdays, and the whole part is going to be on Saturday morning. Saturday morning in all the synagogues, they read the full part. It's very powerful to read it, to know what portion we're in. And I like to teach it in what is it in for me. This is the place that we do need to be a little bit egoist, because we need to know what are the tools, how can I protect myself, and how can I, according to my own character, because we're not trying to break people down. Everyone is unique in their own way. Mm-hmm. But according to my character, what I need to work on. So it reveals in every, you know, weekly portion, the stories, the deeper meanings, and so on. There are different layers.
It's quite amazing, because it gives so much information. We just have to dig, and, you know, some of us do not understand the parasha. Sometimes it's difficult, but that's where you need to either read the translations or just go to classes. But for instance, looking at this week's parasha, because we're trying to send positivity, and we're trying to give people some tools, something that they should take where they are right now in this time. What can they take from this coming parasha? Like, you know, if you can talk in general about the parasha and messages that may be hidden. I assume that people have different messages, because when they go to the individual, to their own self, they can find other things. It's very intuitive, right? Also, but just like this week's parasha, what kind of messages can people get from that so that they can start building their own ark and, you know, start feeling protected and go up to north, to growth?
So first of all, there are many people out there that are actually a part of the lost Israelites. There are many people out there that are not even aware that they are part of the lost tribes that once was the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. When we say Jews or Jewish, we are talking about the people from the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, that, by the way, was also mixed with the tribe of Binyamin, that's a lot of the Persian Jews, by the way. We had some of the other tribes, but there, and we have the many of the tribe of Dan, that is the Ethiopian Jews. But bottom line, there's so many out there that are still lost, even from the tribe of Judah. So for these people, they will feel a calling. Many people feel that calling already. And for them, when they even read the Torah, it would help them to get them to the right way. About this parasha specific, the Israelites are just waiting, you know, they're parking in the desert. They're not going to Israel because of things that happen in other parashot. And they're having fun, not aware of any danger. But up on the mountain, a very evil king named Balak, he sees them and he wants to destroy them. So this is really going behind the scenes. It's all the negative things that are happening when we're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone in this parasha, they're real people, but they're also chariots to different energies that are acting in our lives. So when we read the Torah, we first of all, by reading this parasha, this portion from the Torah, we can get protected. Second of all, what he's doing, he sees that he cannot take them alone, so he brings another very big wizard called Bilam. Mm-hmm. And what Bilam tries to do, there's a whole story of how he shouldn't go. He understands he shouldn't go, but his pride takes over him. So what do we need to be careful this week? Exactly. This week, more than ever, it's the whole month. But like this week, our ego can deceive us, can make us be very emotional. Mm-hmm. So when things like that happen, try not to react right away and ask yourself, what's going on? Like, why am I so, just like we talked before, why am I so affected by what they said? I mean, if it's not me, then why would I be hurt? If it is me, maybe I need to work on something. Mm-hmm. So just to try to calm the emotion and try to take it, like to control it. So Bilam doesn't listen, and it costs him eventually his death. But he goes because Balak brings gold and honor and all this, and he brings him to literally curse the Israelites and to destroy them. And then Balak comes and he starts making all these altars for God, but God told you not to come. So what is that? This is, again, representing times in our lives that we know the answer, but we don't want to listen. So we go with our head to the wall and we say, no, but I'll do something nice on the way and I'll make myself feel better. No, you know, it's wrong. So don't ignore the signs. If it's wrong, it's wrong, you know? And then he goes still, and then he tries to curse. And seven times he tries to curse. Seven is a very spiritual number in the Torah. Mm-hmm. And seven times comes out of his mouth the most beautiful, beautiful blessings that he could not even think of. And of course, you can imagine how Balak is upset right now. But then before Bilam goes, again, he can't help it. Before he goes, he says, you know, this nation, you cannot destroy them from the outside. But if you break their unity, if you break them from inside, then you have a chance. And unfortunately,
wow,
they do. Yeah, what they do later on is Balak decides to send the beautiful suicide bombers dressed as the most beautiful half-naked girls of his nation and the Midianim, also another nation that teamed up. Balak was the king of Moab. He teamed with the Midianim. Midian is also, Midianim is kind of close to the word dinim, judgments in Hebrew. So everything is coded there. So it's kind of like a physical story with a lot of spiritual layers that when you really study it, you have to understand what's really going on. And they come and they start to seduce the men. And by the way, it writes there, how did they start? So first of all, they brought them food. Now the food was already with witchcraft. This was food that they used to give to their idols. So it wasn't just a regular food. You know, in Judaism, we know that what you eat is what you become. So it's very important to, of course, eat healthy, but also what you eat can affect you. They were not affected until they ate. And they were saying, here, just eat. We're nice. We're, you know, just eat with us. Come be with us. Come, you know, dance with us. And as soon as they were eating, they brought them to worship their idols. They start bowing to their idols, and a mysterious plague started happening all over. People just start falling like flies. And then in the end, do we have time for just two more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so one of them, she was the princess, and she had a special mission. They told her, listen, you have to go for the leader. For you, it's not enough to destroy the regular people. You have to go for the leaders. If the leaders are done, the whole nation is done. So again, what does it teach us?
It's like how living reality, the reality in Israel now, but exactly, whatever, thousands of years ago.
Exactly. How important that our leaders will be pure and also know what's the goal. What's really the goal? You are guiding a holy nation. This is a nation that came to be a kingdom of priests in the world, that came to lead the whole world. And when we suffer, by the way, when people hurt the Israelites, Am Israel, they will be punished. Sooner or later, they will be. But the whole world is suffering because it's kind of like this is the soul of the world. And people attacking the soul. What do you expect if you attacked, you know, the soul of a person? What will happen to the body? The body is dying. So increase the love to the soul, help the soul to be more you know, in control, have good leaders, everything would look differently. So she got a mission. He said to her, the, you know, Balak, you go and you look for someone that is all dressed in white, very impressive. That would be Moshe, Moses. And she goes, and who does she see? Someone dressed in white, beautiful, very, you know. But that was the head of the tribe of Shimon. So luckily or not, immediately she took over him. She was a very big sorcerer. She possessed him. She, you know, went like, like put him into a trance and took him directly to the altar where, you know, the Ohel Moed, where the tabernacle is, and started having relations with him on the altar. And everyone is standing and crying. The holy leaders that were around actually were crying. What is she also doing to that holy person? She's sucking all the light, just like the Egyptians did, all the light out of him. And that moment, Pinchas, which is the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, so this is the grandson of Aaron, the high priest, takes a sphere, push it into both of them, and the plague stops. This is how this parasha ends. If you want to know what happened later, you have to go and read next week that, again, in the level, the surface level, talks about what's happening and the story and everything, but and talks about some holidays in this parasha. I don't know, but in the Zohar, it talks all about healing. Because again, he had the power to stop a plague that, by the way, 24,000 people unfortunately died from.
Wow. So it's yeah. Quite amazing. I mean, we brought a message here. And yes, we are acknowledging it's not easy time for everyone, but there is a way to do it different. We said, take responsibility. Start working on yourself. You gave an amazing, I would call it a guide here, because we're all asking, what can we do? How can we be better? How can we be happier? How can we grow? And basically it's written in those books that have been, you know, written, who knows, thousands of years ago. And everything is right there. Are we all, you know, knowledgeable and can open them and read them? We may need some help, but I do want you to share before we end. I'll give you later, you know, like a minute to give like a message, but how can people find you? Because I was fascinated by the way you were teaching it and explaining, and it felt like I'm just sitting with a friend, you know, giving me a good advice. And I love that. And I want people to be able to enjoy it. How can people get in touch with you?
So the best will be through letsjewish.com. It's our email. They can also write to us on the YouTube channel, but this will be more personal if they have personal questions. I do give some women classes once a month right now, but we are thinking about opening more classes because there is a demand.
Is it in person or remotely?
Sometimes I do give, you know, if someone has a problem, it's not going to be something in a group, of course. They can just, that's why they can email me. But I do give the classes in person. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're in LA.
In LA.
I have people from Iraq that are listening to our videos and contact me. I can't go to Iraq right now. I wish there'll be peace and, you know.
Right.
But yeah.
Wonderful. So it's fascinating. It's amazing. I'm going to give you like a really quick minute just to like give a final sentence message for people so that everybody, you know, finish it in the most positive way possible and start growing right from here.
So again, I'm going back to the beginning. We're here to bring light to the world. And that means that when we care, really care for others around us, when we understand that our own pain sometimes is because we now have the ability to help others, and it had a reason why it happened, and that our environment is affecting us also. So we have to surround ourselves with good people slowly, and build the critical mass. we'll see that we can do it and we'll bring the Messiah much faster. Bezrat Hashem.
Amen. Amen, amen. I really, it was fascinating, Shiri. I enjoyed every second here. And I want to thank you for coming. And I know we said, you know, we'll go by whatever direction we had, but we found ourselves in a different way because it was just needed. And I want to thank you for that. And hopefully people know now how to be in touch. I can also put it on my Facebook page when I put the full video. It will be available after, right after this show. And thank you. And hopefully we'll see you here again. We have so much to talk to.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you and bless everyone.
God bless you. Thank you, Shiri.
Thank you. All the best.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.